You may be seated. And I appreciate Brother Randy. He's slipping out right now. He doesn't want to hear me preach. Amen. I'm just kidding. I was just going to say, Brother Randy, I appreciate. Brother Randy's on his lunch right now. He works over at Lowe's, and he came to church for just the time that he could. Amen. I like that. I appreciate that. Amen. There was days in my life where I did that, and I remember working a job in Bible college where I didn't want to work Wednesdays because we had church, but I prayed and I said, Lord, I need this job and I want you to give me wisdom. And He did. Then He allowed me to become a supervisor, so I had a lunch hour instead of a half an hour, and I could go to my friend's church, which was only 5 minutes away on Wednesday nights, and listen to him teach and preach. And so praise the Lord for that. Well, here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, in verse 7, it's a great verse, by the way, here. It talks about husbands and wives, and the responsibility of the husband is to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, getting to learn about your wife and learning her strengths and weaknesses. Amen. And this is not a message on marriage in the home, but boy, that would do us all well. Amen. Fellas, to learn about our wives and learn. By the way, you can learn a lot from your wife. Amen. She has intuition that you don't have, and praise the Lord, I'm learning that. But then it also tells us not only there to dwell with them according to knowledge, to learn, but it tells us to honor them, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You know, frankly, fellas, I just don't have much respect for a man that will hit his wife. Amen? I want to say, pick on somebody your own size, big boy. I can take the glasses off. Amen? Really, why? Because we're supposed to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. But then not only to learn and to honor, but then it says this, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so, fellas, I don't know if you realize it or not, but if you don't dwell with your wife according to knowledge and you don't give her honors under the weaker vessel, what's this verse say? It says that our prayers can be hindered. And then it gives us a great formula. And it's not the message, I'm getting to it, but a great formula there in verses 8 and 9 for having unity. You know, listen folks, unity for the sake of unity is wrong. You say, what do you mean? There was a movement years ago called Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers. And what they did was they said, look, we don't care if you're a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness. We just care, husbands, that you keep your promises. No, sir. No, sir. That's not the kind of unity I'm looking for. Our unity is in Jesus Christ. Say amen. And it tells us here, a great way to have unity here, finally, be all of one mind. The mind of Christ. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What is that? What does it go on to tell us? It tells us about the cross and all, but it tells us of His selflessness and His caring of others. Be of all of one mind. Having compassion one of another. That do us well. Compassion is love in action. Amen? Having compassion one another. Does it move you to see your brother or sister in distress, hurting, discouraged, down? Does it move you? Having compassion one of another. Then it says, love as brethren. Just like you'd love your brother or sister. Because we are. We have the same Father, folks. Amen? Love as brethren. I love this. Be pitiful. Now, it's not the way we use it now. It's, boy, that guy's pitiful. Amen? No. No, it had to do with pity. Like as a father pitieth his son, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Amen? That sweet pity of a father on a crying child. We had little baby Preston with us last week. Brother Stephen and his wife Kendra stayed with us. And I forgot what it was like. Brother Lem and Katie, you're not forgetting, but I forgot what it was like to hear the baby cry. There's a difference between my child's cry because he is upset and mad. Ah, amen. There's a difference between that cry and the baby cry that says, I'm hungry or I'm gassy or I'm hurting. Or this, and I forgot what that was like. And I heard little Preston, you know what that, what? And there was a pity that rose up inside me. Because he's hurting. He just he wants to feel better. Amen. Be it to eat or whatever. That's what it's talking about here. To be pitiful. And then it says this, be courteous. Be courteous. Still okay to hold the door for somebody else. Amen. Still okay to have good old-fashioned common courtesy. And how much more among Christians and all God's people said? Amen. Then it says this, not rendering evil for evil. Uh-oh. Here we go. I heard somebody say one time, you believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? And he said, yes. I said, good, we'll all be blind and toothless before too long. Amen. And certainly there was Old Testament law, but we don't live in the age of law. We live in the age of grace, where Jesus told us to bless them that curse you, to pray for your enemies, those that despitefully use you. And then it says, not evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue for evil, that his lips they speak no guile. Go down to verse 12, and this is kind of where we're going to live tonight, in a topical message tonight. But it says there in the middle of the verse, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Did you know God wants to hear your prayers? God wants to hear your prayers. Just like when I come home from a long day at the office, and I, Brother Mark, am I on this one here? Brother Mark, okay, just unmute me there, brother. Amen. On the wireless. Amen. There we go. Amen. If I move, amen, I want to make sure I'm on. Just like when I come home from a long day at the office and doing spiritual battle, and Eric usually is the first one to come to the door. He comes, he says, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And I know many of you told me, enjoy these days, Pastor. They go by so fast. And after a while, it's like, hey, Dad. And then after a while, it's, hey. And then after a while, Brother Lowell, it's, amen. As they get older, amen. They don't even speak anymore. Amen. And I know that's true. Amen. But I come home and he wants to talk to me. And I want to tell you something honestly, and this is a God's honest truth. There's very, very few times that I come home that I don't want to listen to what he says. I want to hear him. He wants to talk to his daddy. And I'll ask him, I'll say, Eric, how are you? And he'll say, I three. I said, no. How are you? How was your day? Like three, amen. And then he begins to tell me about what's going on. You know, just like me as a father, I want to hear from my child. And just like you as a father, mother, love those phone calls, maybe from the child that has moved away. Hey, listen, God loves it when we get on the hotline to heaven. Amen. You remember that old song, Central's Never Busy, Always on the Line, You May Talk to Heaven. Always, anytime. Amen. That good old song, it was called The Royal Telephone. Telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. Talking about prayer. Somebody has said, and it's so true, prayer moves the hand of God. Now, there are those in theological circles that say, no. Man doesn't have anything to do with anything. God's going to do what he's going to do, and you can't do anything about it. And I want to just tell you this. The truth is, God knows the end from the beginning. Amen? He knows every decision we're going to make. But why would he command us to pray if it couldn't have an impact and an effect? I promise you, listen, God told us to pray because prayer moves his hand. Amen? Prayer moves his hand. And I want to look at some things tonight about what is prayer, Pastor? What is prayer? Well, when you boil prayer down, and we'll talk about it, certainly prayer is confession. Amen. Listen, we need to come to God. We can't come to God with dirty feet, spiritually speaking. Amen. And if we walk in this world, we'll get dirty. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe prayer should begin with confession. Amen. Coming to God and saying, God, I want you to hear my prayers. If there's sin in my life, reveal it to me and show it to me and help me to be willing to confess it and to repent. Certainly confession. Prayer is not only confession, prayer is adoration, isn't it? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When I come to God in prayer, I like to adore Him and say, God, You're wonderful. You're lovely. You're holy. You're merciful. You're righteous. You're boy, you could go on that, Brother Holy, for a long time. And just spend a little time adoring your Father. God, listen, God's not upset when we tell Him how good He is, because He's good and better than we can even talk about. Amen? He's not upset with that. Then I think of supplication. Supplication is coming to God on behalf of another. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, let all prayers and supplications be made for kings and them that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Hey, if the government leaders decide to make decisions that are contrary to God, it ought not to be because the people of God don't pray for them to make those decisions. They're going to be accountable for those decisions, but you know what we're going to be accountable for? Whether we prayed for them or not. Come on, church. It's a command of God. It's in there. Amen. Supplications. 1 Timothy chapter 2. But really, when you boil it down, you know what prayer is? Prayer is asking. That's what prayer is. It's asking for things from God. It really is. It's just that simple. Ask and ye shall receive. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. By the way, there are some conditions to prayer. I don't have them all listed here, but there are, because there are some prayers that God will not hear. If you are living in known disobedience, the Bible says, according to 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, that God doesn't hear your prayer. He doesn't. We think about secret sin. Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then it talks about in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, that the Lord's arm is not short and that it cannot save, nor his ear short that or dull that it may not hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So secret sin will keep your prayers from being heard. I think double-mindedness. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let him that wavereth think he shall receive nothing of the Lord. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. And then I think of selfishness. God said in James chapter 4, ye ask amiss because you want to consume it upon your own lusts. There's a lot of Christians like that. There's a lot of Christians saying, Lord, I'm going to play the lottery. And if I win it, I'm going to give back to you. You know why God's not going to let that happen? Number one, amen, gambling's a sin. Amen, amen. It's wasteful. I should preach a whole message on that. I'm not even going there. But number two is He knows you'd consume it upon your own lusts. Amen. God, please just give me this Ferrari. Why? For bringing kids to church? Probably not. Probably for pride. Probably for consuming it upon you. And so God knows there are some prayers He doesn't hear. But what kind of prayer, if we could look at tonight, what kind of prayer moves God? Listen, I don't know about you. Listen, I don't want to just pray to spew out words. I want to pray to move God. By the way, don't you want your pastor to pray on your behalf, to be able to move God on your behalf? You know what I want? I want Christians to be able to pray that are praying for my children to move God on my behalf and on my children's behalf. Amen, amen, amen. I want to look at it tonight. Several things if we could. Number one, we'll just go in order here. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And we'll just be in the New Testament here tonight. Matthew chapter 6. And of course, Jesus deals with prayer in this text, but the first kind of prayer that moves the hand of God is found in verses 1 through 4. And God says here, talking about our giving, and He says here, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore,
When thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet as before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, and that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have your reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the corners and in the streets, that they may be seen of men. And verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. The first kind of prayer that I believe moves the hand of God is secret prayer. Secret prayer. You know, I've met some Christians that are absolutely against praying publicly. They say we shouldn't have public prayer on the platform, and we shouldn't pray for our meals, and it should only be done in secret. And of course, my answer to that has always been the Bible. And you say, what did Jesus do when he broke the bread and the loaves in front of 5,000 men and probably 15,000 others? He prayed. He prayed. So anyway, just a little theological jab there. But God blesses secret prayer. That prayer that you're all alone. Maybe you're all alone as a couple. Maybe you're all alone, just you and God in your spot. I remember hearing years ago, Dr. Lee Robertson pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church. Him and his wife would always pray on the corner of their bed. They had this beautiful bedspread that went over the bed, and on the corner of the bed. And after so many years of praying in that one spot, the actual bedspread had begun to wear away. That's a blessing. That's secret prayer. Secret is, again, talking. Jesus talks about the alms here. He talks about not letting your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Listen, if we ever want to move the hand of God, it says there in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Listen, I'm glad for prayer lists. Amen. I'm glad for public prayer time. Amen. I'm glad for closing in prayer and opening in prayer and beseeching God in prayer. But the prayer that really moves the hand of God is that secret, private prayer. Amen. Oh, that we would pray. Listen. Don't let all your prayer be public prayer. Let me preach to myself. Don't let all your prayer be public prayer. Listen, I pray a lot publicly. Amen. Oh, but that secret prayer, that special closet, that's prayer that moves God. Amen. Number two, not only secret prayer, but in verses 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 6, again, let us read again. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And again, that's their motive, okay, to be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Be therefore not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Not only secret prayer moves the hand of God, but secondly, I believe, simple prayer moves the hand of God. You know, I can tell you this. I've been out of Catholic school for 27 years, but I could still wrote to you the vain repetitions that were put into me for years. I could still quote the Hail Mary. I could still do the rosary. I tell you what, they're just vain repetition. I want to tell you, when I was lost and in sin, none of those meant anything. They were just vain words. You know what? I love the story. Oh, I tell you, you could just preach on this story a month of Sundays. But Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus walked on the water, He walked on the water. Amen. And I believe it was a tempestuous sea, Brother Ken, and he walking on the waves. I mean, he wasn't just walking across. I mean, going up and down. And there were those disciples in the boat, and Jesus calms their fears, and he says, "Be not afraid, it is I." And there's old Peter. Gotta love Peter. Impetuous Peter. He said, "If it be thee, bid me to come." Lord Jesus said, "Come on." And I think he took one step out of the boat. I don't know this. It's not in the Bible. Amen. But he might have looked back and said, "Oh." Amen. And he kept going. And he kept going. And he kept going. And all of a sudden he realized where he was. And who he was. And he began to sink. And Brother Pipko, you know what he didn't say? He didn't say, "Oh Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thou that flungest the stars into existence and thou that dwellest among the cherubim and the seraphim." And you know what he said? He prayed a simple prayer and said, "Save me!" Listen, for all our phylacteries and all our theology, you know what God, prayers that God blesses? Simple prayers. Simple prayers. Listen, I have said many a time, and it's a bit of a joke among preachers, but I mean this with all my heart. I'm not looking for an amen. I'm a simple preacher. I really mean that. All I really know is that this is God's Word. God has great illustrations for us in His Word. We don't really need to go too much more beyond that. I'm all for a good story and a good illustration and all that. But all I really know is to preach the Bible. That's simple. Can I tell you, as far as prayer goes, just ask God. Just ask Him. Listen, many times we were at the Thanksgiving table, and I loved it. I miss it at our house. And, you know, life goes in seasons, doesn't it, folks? Amen. Sometimes you have a big Thanksgiving table, and sometimes it's just a few. And it seems like over the years, it kind of whittles down a little bit. Amen. We used to have it at my mother and father's house, and a big, big table. I mean, all the cousins around. There was probably 20 of us in a room that couldn't fit 20. Amen. We were all boxed in there. And it was Thanksgiving. And my dad was the one who paid for all the food and worked hard and all that. And it was Thanksgiving. I didn't say to him, Brother Kelly, "Oh, thou Father, would thou pleasest passeth the potatoes that thy son may eat and live and enjoy thy..." No, I said, "Hey, Dad, could you please pass the potatoes?" And he would always say, "No, I'm busy." He would always say that. Amen. "I'm busy eating." Amen. Listen, God likes simple prayer. Simple prayer moves God. How do you know simple prayer moves God? Because as soon as Peter prayed, "Save me," Jesus grabbed him. Saved him. Pulled him up in. Talked to him about his little faith. Simple prayer. Secret prayer. Number three, go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I hope this is a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me when I prepared it. Amen. Secret prayer. Simple prayer. Verse number 19, please, of Matthew chapter 18. "And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." What a promise of God that He will be with us in the midst of us where two or three are gathered. You say, what do we see there, Pastor? We have secret prayer and simple prayer. I think if we read this text, we find that unified prayer moves the hand of God. Unified prayer. It says there in verse number 19, it says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And I just say this, if God will do that with just two, how much more will He do it with 20, with 50, with 100? With 200 being unified in prayer. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I mean this, please. I do not just want a youth pastor. I want God's man. And I hope that's what you want. By the way, I hope you're praying for Pastor John and Melissa for God's will in their life. That God would open a door. Let's agree in prayer on that. Amen? Why? Because unified prayer moves the hand of God. How many times unified prayer has done that? Amen, amen, and amen. Number four. Go with me to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter 11. And there's a companion passage to this, of course, in Matthew chapter 15. But we'll look at the verses in Mark chapter 11. Secret prayer, simple prayer, unified prayer. And then Mark chapter 11 and verse number... look at verse 22, please. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Boy, that's a comforting verse, isn't it? Amen. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you that what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Number four, secret prayer, simple prayer, unified prayer, expectant prayer. Or we could say it this way, prayer in faith. Now let me just say this. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And can I say this? His statement is, of course, conditioned by His will. Amen? I've said for many a year, God answers every prayer. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says wait. Amen? But it's conditioned by His will. At Matthew chapter 21, a companion verse, we have a broad and general rule for prayer like here in Mark. But listen, the rule is it's liberal and it's gracious and it's awesome in potential, but it's qualified by the reasonable limitations of Scripture. That is not asking amiss. And of course, we remember how Paul asked three times for his thorn to be removed, but God said no. And then Luke 22:42 is the premise for prayer when Jesus prayed and said, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, what are you trying to say here, Pastor? Hey, listen, you know what we need to pray? We need to pray expectant prayers. And I don't mean this the way it sounds. Not like we believe them, but we need to pray believing that God wants to hear, He wants to answer our prayer. And listen, I know that there are times where that's a tough balancing act. Listen, does God want this person to live or does He want to take them home? It's hard sometimes, isn't it? You've been there where we said, God, please raise this person from the dead. We know You can. Maybe He just wants to take them home. I understand that. It's hard. But listen, pray, believing. God said you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and He'll do it. Amen. And there's a lot of mountains in our lives that we could say and pray, believing God and expecting Him to do great things. Secret prayer, simple prayer, unified prayer, expectant prayer. Go over to Luke chapter number 11. This is a great passage of Scripture on prayer. Luke chapter 11. And begin in verse 5, and look at it with me, and just catch up when you get there. It said, and He said unto them, which of you having a friend shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Okay, now, first of all, it's got to be a pretty good friend if you knock on his door at midnight and say, I'm hungry. And I would say, fast until morning, and I'll give you breakfast, amen. But it says here, and then he says in verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. So now we have the reasoning. And I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door's shut and my children are with me in bed. And I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, or will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them which ask him? Well, what kind of prayer moves God? Importunate prayer. That's an old-fashioned word, an old English word. Importunate. It means keep asking. Keep asking. Don't give up asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. When you get tired of asking, keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. Because God says here, even this man did not come and honor this man's request because he was his friend. It was because he wouldn't stop bothering him. I don't mean that in a negative way. Neither does God. He wouldn't stop asking. And so the man said, here, I want to go to sleep. Amen. Here, take it. Hey, listen, we've got a God that neither sleeps nor slumbers, and yet tells us here in these verses, look at verse 10, for everyone that asketh, continual tense, asketh, continual tense, keep asking, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Importunate prayer. Just keep asking God. Keep beseeching God. You say, Pastor, it doesn't seem like he's listening. He's listening. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. You know, I think of that story, and it was such a blessing how God opened our summer preaching conference with Brother Hamlin in Matthew chapter 15, what to do when you don't hear the voice of God. And as we had all our preachers, and had some wonderful preachers this summer, wonderful preachers came. And then we closed with Brother Ouellette, and Brother Ouellette said, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. I want to talk to you about a lady who didn't hear from God. I thought about that. How God, what a blessing it was that God had the bookends of the conference, amen, with that same story. But you know what that woman did? Brother Lowell, she didn't give up. She just kept asking. And Jesus kind of gave her, if we would say spiritually, the brush off. But he kept asking. And he kept asking. Or she kept asking. She kept asking. He'd put something in her face and say, you know, it's not meat to give the master's bread to dogs. And she'd say, yay, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And what did he say? Oh, thou hast great faith. Hey, listen, importunate prayers. Keep asking. Keep asking, amen? Those importunate prayers, that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, amen? Keep at it. Keep at it. Think of that. Secret prayer, simple prayer, unified prayer, expectant prayer, importunate prayer. Go over just a couple pages to Luke chapter 18. Another great lesson in a month of Sundays could be preached on this text. Look at verse number 9 of Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto certain of them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. By the way, don't ever despise anybody. But by the grace of God, that would be you. Don't let personal holiness make you a spiritual snob. Amen? Really. They despised others. And we know, of course, this is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11, and then it says, the Pharisee stood up and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I have in the margin of my Bible, Brother Lem, this man had the big I problem. Pride. Amen. And here we go, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know what kind of prayer that moves the hand of God? Humble prayer. Humble prayer. All you have to do to pray in humility, honestly, Brother Cohen, is just remember who you're talking to. Just remember who you're talking to. You know, I'm nobody, and I mean that. I understand I'm God's child, and I'm a man of God. There's been times where I've had to tell people that were talking to me as a man of God, and I've had to raise my voice up and say, you are talking to a man of God. I learned a long time ago it's best to deal with everybody as if they are a child of God. Why? Because I know their father, and I want to treat them right. But I want to tell you this, it's easy to get humble in prayer when you just think of who God is. He is the one that flung the stars with His Word. He's the one that created this wonderful, incredible thing that we call the human body out of dirt. He deserves to be reverenced. When you get that down, it'll be no problem coming to Him in humility, saying, God. You know, I think of Abraham when he was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, and was praying for Lot, and you read the story, it's really neat how he came to God and he said, oh God, please don't be mad at me for coming to you. And God, be not angry against thy servant if it for 40. And he goes down and we kind of say he bargains with God and gets down. But over and over and over, he comes humbly. Hey, if you want prayer to move the hand of God, be humble when you come to Him. Some people are kneelers. So I know some people that get all the way down. Prostrate before God. They literally lay down when they pray before God. And I think that it shows, you know why we bow our heads and close our eyes? It shows our humility to God. Amen. It says here that he wouldn't even lift up his eyes unto heaven. Humble prayer. And then lastly, not only secret prayer and simple prayer and unified prayer and expectant prayer and importunate prayer and humble prayer. Then lastly, go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll close tonight right on time here, 7:05. I like this. Coming right after humble prayer, we find a different kind of prayer here. In Hebrews chapter 4. Says in verse 15, what a great verse, in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Aren't you glad that our high priest can be touched? He understands, he knows. Oh, and then it says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's the sinlessness of Jesus Christ right there. Then it says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of needs. You say, what's the last kind of prayer that God blesses, Pastor? Bold prayer. Bold. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and incredible miracles that happened that day, there's so many and it does us good to review them from time to time. But one of the greatest miracles was the veil of the temple was rent, was torn from top to bottom. I've been reading about that this week as I've been going through my Bible in Exodus. And that is absolutely incredible from top to bottom, how thick it was and the power it would have taken. And literally, when that happened, the Holy of Holies was exposed and open to men. And you remember back in Leviticus that only once a year the priest would go and he would go back into the Holy of Holies. And you remember they tied that rope on him that had the bells. And when he would go back into the Holy of Holies, if they would hear the bells moving, they knew he was still alive. And if the bells stopped moving, they dragged him out by the rope. They knew he was dead because he had sin. And he would come and he would offer the blood upon the mercy seat once a year. Only had access once a year. Hey, you know what? When God did, He ripped the veil of the temple and He said this, "Come boldly to me." You can come boldly to the throne of heaven and ask for things. And praise God for that verse in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What kind of prayer moves God? Secret prayer, simple prayer, unified prayer, expectant prayer, importunate prayer, humble prayer, and bold prayer. Let's pray, folks. Amen. Let's pray. Don't just talk about praying. Pray. Amen. God wants to hear your prayers, and He wants to move on your behalf. Father, we do.